Blog Talk Radio.
Think big. ThinkBigRadio.com for all your realty, financial, business, and entertainment networking needs. Hello, ThinkBigRadio.com listeners. Mary the Encourager here, your host today. I would like to thank you all for your continued support and for spreading the word about ThinkBigRadio.com. Have you spread the word today? Our co-host today is none other than Big. How are you doing, Big?
I'm doing fine, Mary, and I just can't wait to get Kimyon on here to tell us all of these great things.
Okay, our guest today is Kimyon Zari. Did I say it right?
It's Kimyon Zari, yes.
Zari, okay.
Yes.
Now, before we get started with your great story, let's share with our guests your contact information. So our listeners who might be listening live or those who would be listening a little later would be able to contact you. What is your website, email, contact number? How can our listeners reach you?
Well, you can start out by visiting the website at onediamondcoaching.com. You can also reach me by email at adiamondcoach@gmail.com. I also invite people to visit http://onediamondcoaching.com fanbridge, and that's where you can sign up to get information from me. And also, you can reach me at 704-614-2988.
Oh, that went so fast. Could you say that again?
704-614-2988.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right.
Okay. Well, we're really glad to have you with us tonight. And for our listeners, I know they're in for a big treat. We like to start by getting to know you a little bit better. So I want to start by asking you, would you tell us a little about yourself?
Well, I am a native of Springfield, Massachusetts, up north. I'm currently residing in Charlotte, North Carolina area. I am a mother to a young son and a daughter. I am enjoying my life, just living and learning and drawing close to God and doing things that, you know, that are exciting and surprising at the same time. I'm a former radio broadcaster, vocal entertainer, former fundraiser, and fitness trainer for women. And today, I'm feeling myself, as they say, by touching a lot of lies. Yeah, I'm having a good time.
That's good. We caught you by surprise when you gave that call to you. We had so many problems last week on the show, and we were able to overcome those because normally we let you guys know ahead of time, but we weren't able to really do any of that. And we were just, I was so happy that when you answered, you were still like ready to go and pumped up. And that's, you know, that think big spirit. Like, you know what? It doesn't matter. Let's make this happen. You're definitely a big thinker.
Yeah,
and I believe you said you were a big thinker by birthright. Is that so?
Say what now?
You said that you were a big thinker by birthright.
Yeah.
When you filled out our questionnaire.
Yeah. Now, what does that mean?
We come here knowing.
Okay.
We just forget. So, you know, we get around the social life and we start doing things and I say this because it's so clear in my own life. You know, I knew I had a goal and I had things that I wanted to do in my life, and then I got around certain people and I started doing things that, you know, I didn't do before, and I'm like, wait a minute, you know, and I find myself and say, wow, you know, this is not my life and this is not the way I was raised. And then I would cut things off and you keep moving and you find yourself slipping and sliding, just slipping and sliding. So, I believe that we come here knowing. We just forget. We get off
okay.
the path.
Well, I can relate to that. Well, let's let our audience know a little bit about what you're doing now. And let's start by talking about what is your passion?
My passion, that's a very good question. I'm going to say that my passion is to love and just to be. But I'm passionate about coaching and telling the truth about what I see and feel. That's what I'm passionate about.
And when you say coaching, what kind of coaching is that?
It's life coaching. It's personal development. That is, I'm very passionate about that, and I have been for quite some time. I've been on this path now for about 15 years. And today's path is just a little more, I'm a lot more conscious of what I'm looking for. And then at times I'm also surprised at what I find. So personal development is an area where we really zero in on the self, not on everything outside of the self, but everything internal. And I call it traveling internally. So I do a lot of that, and that's what I do as a coach, is help people to travel internally.
Now, let me ask you a question about what you're just bringing up now. Do you think that that it's very important for people to, you know, possibly have that type of solitude so that they can really, you know, search and, you know, look for it is that they really need to find when they're traveling, or does that really matter, or is it a big part?
When I read and spoken with several leaders, they say it's crucial, because if you don't get to that point where you're able to sit in that solitude and reflect, then it's impossible for you to gather the information that you need to move forward to action. So, and it's something that I think that a lot of people don't do, is to sit with themselves. A lot of people like to have people around them. But that reflection, that solitude, is crucial.
Well, I think what I find is I may be by myself, but I'm really not by myself, because my mind keeps running. And
right.
I'm still going through what if and what could have been. And one of the things that where I am right now is learning to just be still without all those thoughts.
And that, too, is very true, and that's something that I've had to learn over the years as well. Probably it was prior to becoming a coach as well. It was knowing that my mind ran so fast, because my life was fast. Prior to moving to Charlotte, I was moving, busy. And I realized I was busy, but I didn't see the revenue. I didn't see, you know, things really getting done. Yes, I was putting together conferences and things of that nature, but you kind of look back and you stop and you see you're tired. And you say, what in the world? You know, what's going on? You don't have that peace. You don't have that, what's the word? You don't have that humbleness. You don't have that calm about yourself. You're just rattled.
Mm-hmm.
I have that peace today, and I have that calm today, that I'm not trying to purchase everything that comes on the net. I'm not trying to be in everything that's on the net. I'm not trying to be everywhere, because I can't. And so, you know, it just takes time to get to that point where you literally have to talk to your mind and tell it to be quiet.
Wow, that's beautiful. It's just, and sometimes, you know, your mind can just, you know, act like a child and just want to do all these different things. You have to really, you know, say, be still, you know, be quiet.
Hush.
You know, and people, so you're one of the first people that came on and kind of explained it like that. And we have big thinkers from all, you know, all over, all nationalities, all across the U.S., and they all have their ways of finding that voice and saying different things. And we just love having these shows, because it's where we feel that big thinkers come to teach, but also learn from all of the hosts and questions. And I'm glad that you came on and just preach. Keep going. Keep going.
well,
I noticed
what...
on your site. Okay, I noticed on your site that when you talk about life coaching, or when the site talked about life coaching, it talked about shaping your authentic purpose. And
right.
I noticed that you do exhibit that calmness, and yet you have such, you know, such deeply moving thoughts that you're sharing with us. So I did want you to talk a little bit about that.
I became really interested in authenticity because I wrote an article maybe about a year ago, and it talked about a woman, a friend of mine actually, I was sitting with, who talked about her family pulling and tugging at her when she was younger, and she just didn't feel like it was, you know, she could be herself. And I could so relate to what she was saying that I felt like I, too, were being pulled and tugged and pushed and shoved, and I felt like I was doing the robot. You know, I was trying to shape myself into be what everybody wanted me to be except myself. And so on a day that I was sitting and I was reflecting, I realized that I don't have to do that. You know, I'm me, and I like being me. Actually, I love being who I am. You know, I may not do it the way other people want me to do a certain thing, but I do it the way I do it. And that's why it's so important that, you know, my particular brand of and style of coaching is about do you, is to be yourself, to use your voice to make a choice for your life. And that's what it's really all about, is to be authentic in that. And there was a poem I think I read that said something about dance like nobody's watching. Well, live like nobody's watching, because it's your life and you need to live it authentically.
You're listening to thinkbigradio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. Before we go any further, can you please get out your information so that our listeners and our archive listeners will be able to find out this life-changing information?
Sure. I'm at onediamondcoaching.com is my website. My email address is adiamondcoach@gmail.com. You can also sign up and get information from me at http://onediamondcoaching.fanbridge.com. And you can go on and sign up directly to my email list, and I can get information to you. My number is 704-614-29.
Now, let's just talk for a moment. I have a few more questions, but let's talk for a moment about someone who's listening to, let's say they're listening to this program and in the archives. They have maybe come to this site because someone shared it with them, or maybe they saw a link and they followed it. And they're listening to this program and they're saying, what does this have to do with me? How would you address that? For that person who's just happened to be listening, but wondering how they could incorporate some of what you're saying?
You know, that's an awesome question, because my whole purpose is to pursue excellence. And when I say that, underneath that tagline, I say it's about you. And it's about the individual, because a lot of the times we're living by default. We're living by somebody else's operation, because that's what we've been taught. That's what somebody told us. That's what, you know, we saw, however we got it. And so it's not really who we are. It's not even how we think. And so as a coach, what I'm really listening for in a person who would say, you know, what does this have to do with me? Well, I would ask, what are your values? And 9 times out of 10, when I ask a client, what are your values? They don't have any. And so that's why they're living by default. They haven't set any values. They haven't sat down and thought about what that means. And then I would ask, when are you at your best? And they don't know. They don't know when they're at their best. Because when you know that you're at your best, you have some values that you're using, and you're operating from those values. So that's how you, that's just a couple of things. I mean, I could go forever, and I could ask questions all day long. And half the time, we don't know. I had a young client who I kept asking her questions, and she would say, I don't know, I don't know. And I said, honey, how come you don't know the answers to these questions? And she said, because nobody's ever asked me these questions before. So it's about you discovering some things, because it's in there. You know, it's like Prego. It's in there. You know, you just have to have somebody bring it out, help you bring it out. But it's in us. It's already in us.
Now, see, what I like about what you said, I saw a phrase on the site that talked about some of your strategies, and one was developing new practices. And I think that what happens is many times, this is just my opinion, but many times we'll hear people talking about our knowing who we are, what is our purpose, what is our consciousness, and it seems so foreign because nobody taught us. They didn't ask the questions. And they didn't teach us what to do when we start feeling like life is really difficult and I wish I could do something different. So I like the idea that you were very straightforward with saying the person would need to develop some new practices if they want something different to happen in their life.
Exactly. And it's hard. I'm not even going to sit here and say that changing, transforming, it's hard. It's tough. It's not easy. It's not cute. But the bottom line is it still reminds me of, you know, you going through a process, because that's what life really is, but you go through this process real slow. It's like the tortoise, you know. You want to go through it nice and slow. And I say that so that you feel it, so that it touches you, so that it stings a little bit. Because if you don't have this feeling, this is just my opinion too, if you don't feel it, if you can't touch it, if you can't taste it, you can't feel it, it just doesn't work. You know, you're still living by default, and you don't even feel what you're doing. And that's why, you know, that's not authentic. That's
so
not authentic.
If you know you're not, there's something not clicking, but you don't really know what authentic means, what are you to do?
Being authentic just means being yourself. It just means being who you are. You know, one of the things that I did that I thought, wow, this is huge, this is great. I went online and I took what you would call an assessment. It was a mental assessment. And what it actually did for me was, you know, this test is going to show you how you think. And I thought to myself, wow, you know, that's incredible. It's going to tell me how I think. And I took the test, and I, first of all, I looked at the questions, and it scared me. And I said, oh, my goodness, you know, this is some tough stuff here. But I answered the questions, you know, and what it was is you had to answer a question. For example, if you were sharing results from something, my method would be coordinated the most and spontaneous the least. And so I answered 35 questions like that. And what came back to me was so wonderful because it was me. It was how I thought. And what I got from it was once I connect with someone who connects with me and recognizes how I think, and then I recognize how they think, we click. We learn how to click, respect each other, because we know what our boundaries are. We know how we think. And so we don't have to go through any, you know, have any kind of animosity. There's just, we know how each other thinks. And that's another thing I think that we're missing. we don't really know how we think. We're just living by default. I thought that was really cool.
How do you, what would you say is one of the challenges that you face when you're talking to people who may not, you know how to quiet down, or they're so embodied with their personal now that they can't see a future for themselves, and you come with these types of principles and this what some view as new teachings. What's your biggest problem as far as getting through them, or you just say, well, just let me concentrate on those who think as I do?
You know, one of the things that, you know, what they tell us is you have to have a target market, you know. You have to have, you know, this certain kind of person. I think everybody is coachable when they're ready. So I do have what I would say is a right fit client, is someone who first and foremost is committed to personal growth and transformation. It's someone who understands that life is a process. There are no quick fixes, period. And three, a person who's coachable. Now, that's an ideal client. You're talking about someone who's like, look, I don't know what you're talking about, and so on and so forth. It's kind of like Jesus. You have to meet people where they are. And then you have to take those baby steps, you know, those little baby steps to get them to a new place. And it starts something as simple as the way you dress. If you are having difficulty, you know, people looking at me and this, that, and the other thing, well, let's look at what you got on. And you just go from there and you have them look at themselves. And then we had a fashion show like this, which I thought was great. They dressed one way that showed, you know, this is not appropriate. And then they changed that person's dress and then asked them how they felt. They felt great. They felt great. They didn't know about, you know, this is what I know. This is how I dress. This is what I know. But when you put them in a different place, you know, you can let them see it. You can let them feel it. Remember what I said earlier. You can let them touch it. And then they can make up their mind from there. You go at them from where they are.
Well, how do you separate the fact that, let's just use this, the analogy about the dressing, that you have, to use the word, been programmed on what it means to dress for success. How do you know that that's how you want to be? Maybe you feel good because you think that wins the approval of people.
They pick the outfit.
Okay.
Because it's about them.
Okay.
If you had a choice, you know, and you're going, and you give them scenarios, you say, if you had a choice and you're going on an interview, if you had a choice and you're going to a party, if you had a choice and you're going to visit a group home, if you had it, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
What would you choose? It wasn't for us to choose. It was for them to choose. And that's what it's about. It's about you. But you have more options.
Notice that you say, based on your level of consciousness, it's like your advertisement, and that people are attracted to your advertisement. So would that, in effect, mean that I know something about myself by looking at what I've attracted around me?
You know, that is something that I used to resist that. I would resist that and resist that until I actually saw it. I mean, we are going to resist things that we don't want to change right now. And I can't even tell you right now what that really is, because it's probably over my head. I just know that I had resisted some things because at that time I wasn't ready. And that saying, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear, I just believe that is very true. So when you're ready, excuse me, you can begin to make these kind of changes. And I say they're slow. They're slow, and they're slow for a reason. They don't happen all at once. I say if God gave us everything all at once we explode because it's too much to handle all at once. You take baby steps until you can get to that point in your life to make
baby
a change.
Baby steps. That was one of my favorite movies. Did you guys see that movie? With I can't think of the actor's name, but it was about baby steps, and the guy took baby steps all the way to his psychologist's summer vacation home. Bill Murray was in it.
Yeah, I didn't see it either.
It was pretty good.
So you're saying it's okay to take baby steps.
Exactly. I mean, why would you... It's almost as if you cut a half a piece of steak and put it in your throat. What would you do? You'd gag. You'd choke. That's why you cut it in small pieces. You eat it a piece at a time. I mean, it makes sense. You live life the same way.
But, you know, I really can understand. I've gone through quite a few transitions in my life in the last few years. I've had some significant relationships that died, death in the family, emptiness, all of that. And I remember having people say, don't make any big decisions for at least a year. And I thought, oh, my gosh, they must be kidding. I'm fine. I could make any decision I want. And yet, 6 months later, I said, wow, I'm glad I didn't make that decision. A year later, I'm saying, I'm not even ready yet. But at that time, and that's what I really wanted to address, at the time, we really think we're very competent and confident that we can move forward, but we just keep getting results that we didn't want.
And you know what's really cool about life, and I'm finding, and I totally agree with you, what I think is really cool about life is when you are able to be still, and this is the first time that I really recognized how wonderful and beautiful life was actually being in the mountains. And I was up there in the mountains, and we were a little further than we should have been. You know, and the ranger had warned us, but, you know, sometimes we're a little hard-headed. But we went up there, and what I saw was the forest was so beautiful. And there was a little creek that ran around. And I looked at the water, and the water was so clear you could see the rocks at the bottom. I mean, I just thought to myself, I stood there and thought to myself, you know, there's got to be a God somewhere because this is completely beautiful. This is complete beauty here. And I didn't want to leave. It was peaceful. It was still. It was calm. And from that day forward, I started looking at life very differently. I started paying attention to the trees. I had never done that before. I was looking at the grass when the wind blew. I was like, you know, it was really kind of such a change because I had visited this mountain. So I became more inquisitive about life. And then it's been on ever since. And that was 1996.
You know, that's funny that you brought that up about that scene. It kind of almost happened with me, and mine was in the desert. I was, as a Marine, I was in the first war, and we had a chance where I was able to kind of like get away from everybody, even though I shouldn't have been where I was, and it was just looking at, I mean, just even the desert, it was just so beautiful the way it was just painted, and it was just like almost becoming one, you know, with nature. And sometimes, you know, people really need to just take a trip away from the city or, you know, go to a farm or something like that where it's not as let's say, busy, loud. So you have that chance to, you know, just be quiet and get within yourself. We should start a retreat. Let's start a big retreat just for that.
That's right. I'm game.
And we've already covered three places. We've covered the desert. We covered the mountain. And for me, that place is the ocean. Being here on the East Coast, I've had major things happen in my life. And my first thought is, let me just drive to the water. I like the ocean because you can see the force of it. You see the force of these waves that are headed towards you, and yet when they get there, they're so gentle. They've, mm-hmm. you know, they've used that energy, and now they're peaceful, and then they just flow back out and start all over again. And it just always is such an inspiration for me to be around the water.
So, I love the water as well. I have a short water story I have to tell you because it's about being fearless. And I used to play in a band, and we were doing a show for a group, and they took us out on the boat in the ocean. And, you know, I put my bathing suit on, and our sound man put his bathing suit on, and we went out into the middle of the ocean. And one of the band members said, "I dare you to jump in." You know, and I looked at him, and I took my shirt off, and I assumed the diving position, and I dived right in the middle of the ocean. And they all stood there looking at me like I was half crazy, but I love the water. And right behind me, the sound man jumped right behind me, and we were like, "Come on, you guys." We were like, "You got to be kidding me." Nobody else would jump, but the water is like you said, it has its moments. It can be extremely rugged, but it was so peaceful, it was so warm that day, and I was fearless. That's how I lived. Just do it, like Nike.
Well, I really like this. I like the you know, the where we're going, and I like the conversation. I want to ask you, you talked about that pursuit of excellence and about the leadership part. Can you tell us a little more about that?
I never saw it, Mary. You know, I never had a taste of what that was like. And so in my moment of reflection, I began to pray and ask God to help me know what that's like. What is that? Can you show me what excellence is? And who better than God to show you what excellence is? I hadn't found it here on earth. I know I've read a lot about it and so on and so forth, and I know that what I read is a lot of outer stuff, but I was looking more for the excellence that comes from within a person. What does that look like? What does that feel like? How can I taste it? How can I touch it? And so in pursuit of that and continuing to read and talk to people and learn from other leaders, because I am very coachable because I love to learn. And so I found that a lot of the excellence is sitting with yourself and making a choice. You have a right choice and you have a left choice, and you look at these things. Example, being a minister, do I continue to for example, I have a tattoo, but I had the tattoo prior to becoming ordained. Now, I was joking with my kids today, and you know, I said, "Oh, I'm going to get a tattoo on my back." And then my daughter said something to me, and then I was really joking. I wasn't going to get a tattoo, but I knew that's just not things that I do anymore. There's things I just don't do anymore. I don't have a taste for them anymore. I don't even think about these things anymore. So I can make better decisions on that. But then there's that other side where I'm still struggling. You know, I'm still tuggling with some stuff. I can't seem to make a left or a right. And that's where I need the help for excellence. Can you help me with this? Because I'm a little stuck with this. So that's where I look for that. Where I'm struggling, not the things that I say, "Okay, I got this, I'm not doing that anymore, don't have a taste for that, da, da, da." This is where I need the help. I'm struggling. This is where I need the excellence.
I think it's very authentic and it's refreshing when we can acknowledge that we need the help. It seems that so many people spend their lives trying to give the appearance they don't need any help.
Well, I can't say that, because I would be telling a major lie. I need it. I can't. There are still things, as a coach and as much as I've learned and as much as I've lived, there's still this area of struggle. There's still this area of, I have a coach. Yes, so, yes. You know, I have a coach. I'm Coach Bo. I'm telling you. And so it's one of those things. And these are huge struggles. These are not the little things that I could do. These are struggles that I can't get through on my own. So I'm seeking excellence from there. You know, a lot of prayer, and then from the leaders that I work with, my mastermind council team, my pastors, you know, I'm seeking because this is an area where I struggle.
Absolutely. Well, I sure can relate to that.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. You know, one thing that we, as big thinkers, all share in common is that not only do we know our strengths, but we also know what we lack and don't have a problem with asking for help in those areas, as you have just, you know, let all of our listeners know, so that it is, you know, okay to ask for help, and especially if that help is going to take you to another level.
No
what
doubt.
Would be the biggest
no,
advice?
No
what would be the biggest advice you could share with our audience that has helped you the most? You've shared many things, but is there something in particular that you would want to leave with our audience?
You know, this is not a dress rehearsal. This is a one-shot deal, and more than anything in the world, people should want to live it to the best of their ability. So I would say to try to walk in the fear. Not even try, walk in the fear. Want to know yourself at a deep level, how you think, why you think that way, and that it's okay. You know, it's okay until you can transform into your newness, because your newness, it's kind of like a cycle. It just comes around in its time. Don't rush life. It's fast enough as it is. Let it be the process. And in the process, learn. That's what we're here for, to learn.
Do you have plans to expand your business?
I most certainly do. I am, first and foremost, this year, working to become an author, a first-time author. That is the primary goal at this particular point. I do have some other products and services coming around the bend, but, you know, to become an author, to let people know really what I'm thinking and, you know, how funny I can be. And how crazy I can be. You know, there's a few books that I'm trying to get out there. So that's first and foremost. As far as the expansion is concerned, I'm not sure how big yet. I have some things on paper, but I kind of in the process. I'm just kind of in the process, and I'm seeing things happen. I'm seeing me meeting the right people at the right time, and I just wait to be surprised a lot of the time, to be honest with you, Marion Big. I just kind of wait to be surprised, and 9 times out of 10, I always am. I don't have a whole lot of plans. I just keep it moving, and it just happens. It just happens somehow.
Well, that's
and
that
I would
law.
Have to say I surely need a coach on that, because I'm always busy planning, and I need to cut it out.
I used to, and like I said, you know, I was so busy being busy from all those plans that I wasn't really living, and I didn't have time to spend with my kids. I was running them around and was rarely home, and it was just a mess, and I do see the difference. I'm living here in North Carolina. I've slowed way down. I'm home as much as I want to be home. And I love that. But when it comes time to, you know, doing what I need to do, it gets done. And, you know, you keep it moving. And like I said, sometimes you're just surprised. I don't feel like I felt back then. I'm much more at peace now, much more at peace. Still have busy days, get me wrong sometimes, but nothing, nothing like back then, nothing.
And you say back then, was there something, I'm not asking you what, but would you characterize some major change that happened, or was it more gradual? Was it something that kind of caused a shift?
Yeah, it was slow. It was, I come from the city. I was born and raised in the city, and I lived city life. And you know how, if you've been in the city, if you worked in the city, if you lived in the city, you know how the city runs fast. So that's what I was doing. But down here is a little different in the South. And while my innards didn't change, you know, I have to say this, my heart changed. My heart changed. And I think the only way that a person can really change is with the heart. The mind is going to have you ripping and running for the rest of your life. But when you change your heart changes your mind. That's just what I found. That's just, you know, a personal thing that when my heart changed, it just changed my mind. And I don't have to do all of that stuff.
Wow. You know, it's always interesting when we have our Think Big guests is that we can connect at such a level. You know, even before the show when we were talking, I just felt like I already knew you. And I think that we can use these encounters to strengthen each other. And, you know, we'll never be the same for just having even shared these few moments together. So I just really appreciate it. And I can't imagine what I would be doing if I were sitting through a full workshop with you.
Well, I tell you, you would have a lot of fun because we definitely like to have fun. And the whole point of living is to have fun, but it's also to allow life to sting. It has to sting. You have to feel it. You have to taste it. You have to touch it in order to move forward. It just has to happen. And I mean that in an authentic way because there are a lot of people doing well, and I'll tell you quickly, I have consulted with a lot of professional women who professionally had it going on, and personally, they were a wreck. So we can hide real well.
Well, we're at that point where I want to ask you if you have someone or some people or some things you would like to thank.
Is it over already?
I'm telling you, I can't believe we're down to just our last 2 minutes.
Sometimes 45 minutes seems forever, where other times it seems as if we've never started.
First and foremost, I thank God for changing my life. Of course, my family, my partners, my coaches, and my angels. I have angels. And, you know, just life for being so open and so grateful to me. So I will leave with forget about your losses and focus on your opportunities. Forget about the future and focus on today. Forget about complaints and focus on your gratitude. And those words really encourage me to keep it moving. You're open now. And that is my name, KIMYON. Keep it moving. You're open now.
Oh, wow. Keep it moving. You're open now.
And that's what I
do. Well, Big,
do
you have any last remark? I want to thank you, Kim Young. Did I say it right?
That's right, Kim Young.
Kim Young. Okay. I want to thank you so much. Keep it moving. You're open now. And we definitely would like to know, would you be willing to come back again?
Almost
and speak
definitely.
With us again? Oh, this
Most
has
definitely.
Been wonderful. thank you so much for all that you have shared with us and our listeners. And for our listeners who are listening to this archive, remember to tell others to come back and to make sure that they pull up this particular message, and I'm sure we'll be encouraged.
Love Talk Radio.
You are listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. Thank you and good night.
Good night.